guess that's my cue. Maybe you'd like to sing that together. It's page 385 in our hymnals. It's yet another Pentecostal song. Maybe you don't see it, but it is. I heard Edwin Waldfogel speaking. I heard a recording of him speaking not too long ago, and he said that the evidence of a spirit-filled life is not signs and wonders, but it's a life of overcoming. And we are called to live holiness unto the Lord, a life of overcoming the world, being not tarnished with sin, but a garment of white. And so let's sing together, 385 in our hymnals.
Called unto holiness, Church of our God, purchase of Jesus, redeemed by his blood.
just the next page in your book, 386. We can sing that together as well. 386 in our hymnals.
I want thee forever.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
We come, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we drink from that supply, Lord. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that well. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
We have in the back of our hymn books a section for responsive readings, which sounds very liturgical, but they're scripture, and we'd like to read one of them today together. That's centered around this day that we observe today, the day of Pentecost, the day that we remember the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the early church. So if you'd like to stand together with me and turn to these scripture readings in the back of the book, it's number 39. Entitled Pentecost, and comes from Acts chapter 2. So we're going to stand and read this together. Here we go. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue, wherein we were born? And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and said unto them, Ye men of Judah, and all they that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. You may be seated. What a wonderful record we have in this text of the Holy Spirit being poured out on the people of God. And we can read this, and it sounds maybe a little strange and a little unusual. It certainly was unusual. The people that were there then felt it was quite unusual. And we can wonder about Pentecost, as Brother Tim was telling us last night, how we don't need to be afraid of Pentecost, of that experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, but many people wonder about that. And the disciples wondered about that. Those that gathered, the 120 that gathered in Jerusalem to be filled with power from on high, they wondered about that. They didn't know what to expect. They didn't have the rest of the book of Acts to read and to learn what God had done in the past. But even though they didn't know exactly what was going to happen to them, they weren't afraid because they knew the one who had told them to wait. They knew him, and they trusted him. So we don't need to be afraid of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means having more of Jesus in your life, as we've been hearing. Being more surrendered to him and being in deeper fellowship with him. That's a good thing. That's something we all desire. It's not something that makes us strange or makes us some kind of a weirdo. If we're a weirdo, that's on us. We can't blame the Holy Spirit for that. But he comes to us to bring us into deeper union with Jesus, deeper fellowship with Jesus. And that's something that we certainly don't need to be uncomfortable with. You know, people have tried to, because they've been uncomfortable with the idea of the day of Pentecost and what happened there, they've tried to kind of explain it and put it in a little box that, you know, that they can just sort of put on a shelf and not have to deal with, you know. They've said that, well, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that was a one-time thing, you know, a one-and-done experience. The Lord baptized his church, and that was it. You don't need to be baptized again because the church is baptized and set in motion, and that's that. But as you continue to read the book of Acts, you'll see that that was not that. But that you see how over and over again the Holy Spirit was being poured out right there in the early church. Another thing they'll say is that, well, you get everything you need at salvation. Well, how wonderful that the Holy Spirit is at work in us all the time. Even before we're saved, the Holy Spirit is at work in us, drawing us to Christ. We can't draw ourselves to Christ. He draws us to Christ. And he continues to work in us after he has brought us to salvation. But there's more. There's always more. And we should want more. Because who wouldn't want more of Jesus, right? There's so much more as we yield ourselves to him. So I just want to encourage us this morning to yield ourselves to him. Don't be afraid to yield yourself to him. If we could get just a glimpse of his heart toward us and how eager he is to come to us, his great desire over us, how his heart yearns to come to us. You know, we read in Luke 11, it says there, what father among you, if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If he asks for a fish, well, instead of a fish, give him a serpent. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. Well, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And that's such a simple thought. You know, you have to ask them, but I don't think any of my kids ever wondered when they came to me to ask for an egg if I was going to give them, hey, here's a scorpion instead. No, that thought would not even have crossed their minds. And yet, it sometimes seems like that's what we think about God. It's like, well, I'll ask for the Holy Spirit, but man, that sounds kind of scary to me. More of Christ. Who wouldn't want more of Christ? Yeah. And you know, people are afraid of yielding themselves to the Holy Spirit. Afraid they will not be able to be in control of themselves. We like to be in control of ourselves, don't we? And we don't like to feel like we're not going to be in control of ourselves. Well, we don't need to fear that either. When we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and he's pouring himself out upon us, it's not that we are no longer able to control what our bodies are doing. But we're so yielded to him that we desire to let him have his way. We desire to let him speak through us and have his way in us because of what he is doing, because of how he is coming to us. It's not that we are no longer able to control ourselves. You know, sometimes people can become like Peter walking on the water. Remember how he saw the Lord out there and said, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you. He said, yeah, come on, let's go. And so he stepped out. And what was he doing when he stepped out? He was looking at Jesus. His eyes were on Jesus. And so he took one step, another step. We don't know exactly how many steps he took. But then what happened? Then he stopped looking at Jesus. Then he got caught up in what was happening to him. How this is not normal. This is not natural. This is not what you normally expect to happen. And so what happened then? He looked at the wind and the waves, and then he sank. And how many people, when the Lord is coming to them, they suddenly see what's going on, and they hold back. And they stop what the Lord is doing at that moment. They're not out of control of themselves, but they shrink back, like Peter. And then what happens? We sink, just like Peter sank. And we stop yielding ourselves. And we stop what the Lord is trying to do in us. And sometimes we can stop ourselves from getting greater victories in our lives that the Lord would like to work in us if we would just stay yielded to Him. Don't be afraid, but keep our eyes on Jesus. How the Lord would like to deliver us from being so taken up with ourselves, so bound up in our fears and our unbelief. So stop worrying about what's going to happen if you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. And just look at Jesus and say, Lord, I love you and I want more of you. Come and have your way in me. And we don't need to get under strain about it. You know, we can do that too. We can think, oh, something's got to happen now. Well, the Lord knows how and when He's going to fill each vessel. And as we said already, He yearns to do that. His desire over us is much greater than our desire for Him. And, you know, we don't need to figure out exactly how and when and in what exact way the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on us. Just look at Jesus. And I can assure you that He won't disappoint you. Just yield to Him. Just love Him and let Him have His way. I wonder if we could sing together number 116 in these same hymnals. Number 116. Let Him have His way with thee.
Thank you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to know you in a greater way, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see you and know your spirit in a greater way, Lord Jesus. Thank you for us to overflow.
I think that this abandonment and yielding that we heard about is where a lot of Christians get stuck sometimes. They hear about the Holy Spirit, they want the Holy Spirit, they want Jesus within their lives, but they get stuck in this abandonment part. I know that abandoning yourself is a popular thing, not just in Christianity, but really in all religions. You look at Eastern religions, and abandoning yourself is a thing that they do as well, but we do it a little bit differently, in that they're seeking to abandon themselves and give themselves up to nothing. We seek to abandon ourselves and give ourselves up to Christ. There's a big difference there. You can't just abandon yourselves and say, well, that's it. But you have to abandon yourselves and seek to attach yourself to Christ. And then he comes in and he does with you as he sees fit. I have heard it said, I think Brother Dan said, that the Holy Spirit doesn't make you a weirdo. I think I heard someone say, it might have been Dave Wilkerson, he said that if you're weird after you're blessed with the Holy Spirit, you were likely weird before you got the Holy Spirit. And I think that's largely true, but the Holy Spirit, when he does come, when you do avail yourself to him, he will oftentimes make you do things perhaps that you would not normally have done. I don't know if you know what they call the Holy Spirit in Ireland. I like this terminology that they use. I don't know that they still do it, if it's still current, but I think a couple of centuries ago, they called the Holy Spirit a wild goose. I don't know if you've ever seen a wild goose and what a wild goose does, but you really don't know what a wild goose is going to do. He could do anything at any time. He kind of acts and does as he pleases, and I think that might be an apt description of what the Holy Spirit can do to a person sometimes. As you give yourself over to Christ, all of a sudden you may spring forth a well of living water, and you may start to praise. You may start to sing. You may start to give a word of testimony. You may start to pray. You may just abandon yourselves, and he will use you as he sees fit. And that's where we get stuck. We abandon ourselves, and then, as Brother Dan was saying, we say, all right, I'm not going to do anything, though. I'm not going to be one of those weirdos. And we clutch our Bibles, we clutch our hymnals, and we just stay within ourselves and stay like a shell, and we never break out of that. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you come and just use me, Lord? Could I abandon myself to you, oh God? You know, when you read about these early church gatherings, each one was used in a church gathering. That's why we call it meetings, I think, because we're meeting with the Holy Spirit. As much as I'm meeting with the Holy Spirit, you're meeting with the Holy Spirit. And I know it's semantics. Call it a meeting, call it a service, call it whatever you want. You can call it a rally. You can call it a campfire gathering. Call it what you want. But we're meeting with the Holy Spirit. And as we meet with him, he uses us. Each one brings a hymn, a song, a spiritual song. Each one. It's not just me. It's not just you. It's all of us. I think maybe that's why we gather in one accord, because the Holy Spirit is using all of us together. I read not too long ago, there's a transcript that I have of services that Martha Wing Robinson would lead. And I found it interesting that it was kind of written like a play might be written. And so it had her name, and then if someone else spoke, it had their name. And it was given to me by Eugene Waldfogel. I think a couple others might have gotten that as well. And I was impressed, and I noticed how she would speak, and then she wasn't the only one who would speak in that meeting, but there were several others who would share. Now, why is that? Because she didn't have anything to say? I think she had lots to say. And I think she probably could have filled up the whole meeting with things that she said. But the Lord saw fit that he would use different ones for different things. Well, will the Lord use you this morning? I don't know. Maybe I'm going to end up speaking the rest of the time. I don't know. But could the Lord use you? Well, I guess you have to ask yourself this question. Lord, will I abandon myself to you? And will I attach myself to you? And then will I let you move within me as you see fit? And so let's let the Lord do that this morning. I don't know how much longer we're going to have gathered in this room, but however long we have, let's be free. And let's let the Lord use us, and whatever he sees fit. Avail yourself to him. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use us this morning. Each one, oh God. Lord, I pray that you would just bring us together in one accord and that you would move so freely among us, oh God. Lord, we thank you that you do, that you desire to do it. Lord, that you can use us, simpletons, unlearned men. Lord, you could use any one of us. Maybe we've been saved for years. Maybe we've been saved for moments, Lord, but you can use us. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to avail ourselves to you, oh God, and just have you come and fill us and use us. We ask these things for your name's sake. Amen.
Oh, think the first thing that the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, get out of here.
Hallelujah.
Is our tongue. And I think there's a correlation between baptism and speaking in tongues. I'm not saying that that's the proof of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, but it is one of the proofs that seems quite prevalent. And there's something very important about that, and that is that the Lord gets a hold of our tongues. As Brother Timmy was speaking, I was reminded of when I was a teenager, really was seeking the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to me about, I don't believe I had received the baptism yet, but still the Lord was dealing with me about my tongue. I had to be careful with my tongue. I really was seeking the Lord with all my heart, but I had a job, and I was sitting next to this young lady, and we got along quite well, and as our supervisor passed us, I turned to her and I said, Ms. Davis is going out to fix her face. Shit, because we both laughed at that. But I didn't laugh too long because the Lord convicted me of that. And I remember the worst part was I went to her and I confess, which was the worst thing we could do. The Lord did not lead me to do that. But I went to her, and she—that was a big to-do. She could. Why did you think? Why did you say that? She said, of course, that was wrong. And my mom was the one. I told her about it, and she was. She said that Brother Gottfried said years ago that we do not have to confess our sins in that way all the time. That some of those things might hurt someone more than anything else. But I remember how careful I was after that. They actually sent me to that was working for IBM at the time. They sent me to the company psychiatrist. They did not understand that too well. But the gentleman that examined me, a little psychiatrist, he recognized right away that I was pretty normal. But I'm saying that sometimes we have to be very careful with our tongues. We always have to be very careful with our tongues. And yet if we transgress, if for some reason we make a mistake, the Lord sees our heart, the Lord knows our heart, and the Lord will take care of that, will increase our dependence on Him, our control, and control by the Spirit. But I'm thankful for God that He does that and He leads us more and more as we grow in Him. As we get older, we still have to watch our tongues. Really old, we still have to watch our tongues. And the Lord will help us all as we look to Him. We are being filled with the Spirit day by day as we seek after Him. The initial experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit does not end the night that occurs. It's a growing experience. You read in the book to grow in the Lord and the power of His might. And I'm thankful that as we gather in a place like this, we can look to the Lord and expect Him to help us to grow, to experience Him more in a greater way, that we will never reach the full potential of what God has for us until we get to heaven. And I understand even in heaven we'll be continuing to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we have such a great bunch of people here. I love to see the little kids running around and screaming and enjoying themselves because, of course, from my standpoint, I see the future of camp. And I see them becoming campers, perhaps they already are, but then staff members, perhaps ministers like Brother Tim and Brother Dan. I remember Brother Danny when he was on the staff as a young man. Now he saw the Lord too. Look what has become of him. We thank God for our young ministers. I call them young. I used to call Brother Ernie and Brother Phil young. But thank God that He has provided these ministers. And let us continue to believe the Lord that He's going to work at us this morning, that He will continue to work at us throughout the coming days.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you'd like, we can stand together and sing page 125 in our hymnals. Again, we could stand together, 125 in our hymnals.
Of the blessing of the Lord in your heart and life today. Claim the promise of your Father, come according to his word in the blessed old time way. He will fill your heart today to overflow.
As the Lord commanded you, bring their vessels not of
sing that last verse together.
Like the cruse of oil unfailing is his grace forevermore.